Well, greetings out there in the internet adventure lands. To all you skips and skipperettes, welcome back to Tales from the Jungle Cruise. So one of the joys of having a hobby is that all kinds of fun things can crop up in your, shall we say, real life. And your hobby gets to take a back seat. Last year in October, it was me blowing out a kidney. I've had a few other fun challenges this year, so we've had a little break in the recordings. It's taken 2 months to get this episode up, and I do apologize to all of you about that. One of the many lessons I've learned over the last year is that skippers are hard to pin down to an actual recording time, even when there's alcohol involved. And we're working on getting more interviews lined up. So if you were a Jungle Cruise skipper or know a Jungle Cruise skipper who wants to sit down and tell your stories, we'd love to have you. I also should have the phone recording system set up in the next couple of weeks, so we're going to try doing that as well. Our email address is junglecruise, C-R-E-W-S, at gmail.com. Now, this episode was recorded at our one-year anniversary Skip Gather in August. Now, the Skip Gather is this thing where we all hang out at Trader Sam's, and if there's any skippers who actually show up, we just throw the microphone out there and randomly record some episodes. It's a lot of fun. We're looking at doing more of these in the future. Now, this episode, as about half of our episodes are, is not suited for the little skips in the audience. We may hit on a few adult tones, so be warned, this one definitely has the explicit tag on it. But it was a lot of fun. I got to hang out with a few of my favorite people that night. We had a great time about reminiscing about how I first reminisced about doing the podcast. It's been over a year. We've had nearly 60,000 downloads between all of our podcasts, and we've loved bringing the show to you. We're going to have some new episodes soon, so please keep passing the info along to your friends. On iTunes, we are Skipcast, and you can catch us on Twitter at Skipcast. So without further ado, we're going way back in time to August 2012, where we join our recording already in progress. Welcome back to Tales from the Jungle Cruise.
Come to Big Thunder,
yeah,
and get trained on Thunder, and there was only a few of them.
I don't know that
I'm the water boy for the kicker on the football team. That's what I am right now.
The have you guys
Foosball
seen?
Football is the devil.
This kind of falls into the whole category of just random fast food goodness, because I think, as anyone will tell you, I'm a huge fast food junkie. I love the new novelty things that are out there. Have you guys seen Jack in the Box's new waffle sandwich?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's an entire waffle split in half with an egg and some sausage and some cheese in the middle. And this is the best response they could think of to the McGriddle, which I think is kind of amusing.
They put syrup in the waffle?
I don't know. I don't think they put syrup in the waffle, but the waffle tastes like syrup. So it's like syrup-esque.
It tastes like syrup.
Maple waffle? Not entirely sure. So anyway, welcome everyone to Tales from the Jungle Cruise. We're in the middle of Season 2, which is an arbitrary number only based upon the fact that Season 1 ended when I got really busy and didn't have time to do the podcast. So we just randomly, arbitrarily call this Season 2, so that way when I get busy again, we can have a Season 3. This is our one-year anniversary of the podcast. As of now, we've had about 22,000 different downloads of the podcast, which is kind of a decent little thing. We've been mentioned in Disneyland Paris in some write-ups. We're going to be interviewed for a fan magazine on the West Coast or the East Coast. I get those confused because I'm not very smart. It's all right. You can make noise. So welcome everyone. We're kicking back at our one-year anniversary celebration after some lovely beverages. Provided that our friend Trader Sam's, and provided we mean paid for. Sitting with me tonight is a guy that I trained with on my opening time at second time at Disneyland, which would have been 2003. Skipper Ron. Ron was with me that whole time.
How's it going? Most people know me actually as Captain Ron, but Skipper Ron will work too. It doesn't matter to me.
And then, Rex, do you want to be a skipper or a captain or a lieutenant or a nurse?
Major.
I usually just go by drunken yachtsman, which is a new hobby where I get drunk and tell people I have a yacht, but I don't really. It's a blast.
Drunken Yachtsman, by the way, is my Beach Boys cover band.
Sorry about the infringement.
I saw the cover picture. It was cool.
We have a couple mystery guests sitting in the background, and by that we mean that they're currently employed and can't say their names.
It's a podcast. They can't see you waving.
Yes. If you wave, the louder you wave, the more they can hear you.
There you go.
And our dear friend for the podcast, Heather, I've known you for now almost 9 years-ish, which is awesome.
Thanks for helping people guess my age.
You started at the resort when you were 14. Which was when I met you.
17.
Heather was worked with me at a number of attractions at the Disneyland Resort, and is happy to see you. We reconnected a couple years ago. It makes me like all gushy inside. Now you're all married and have a kid. And have forgotten about our torrid affair in Paris and. No, that was.
I think she forgot.
Paris, California.
So anyway, so we were chatting earlier. We spent some time at Trader Sam's hanging out and discussing some of the interesting things that happened in our time. So we'll cover those things. The big questions that we always like to start off with is just kind of go around the horn and say kind of when you started at the resort, when you left, maybe some of the main attractions that you knew while you were there. It's a nice little filler piece so people can get to know you. So Captain Ron, what was your history at the resorts?
I started at Jungle. I added Winnie the Pooh, part of the opening crew over there. I did a lot of GC. After landlocking, I lost Winnie the Pooh and worked over at Big Thunder Mountain Railroad. After a little while, I gave up Big Thunder Mountain Railroad and got Indiana Jones. But all along, I stayed at Jungle. And, of course, in the Enchanted Tiki Room.
Yes, the Enchanted Extra attraction.
The Enchanted Break Room.
Enchanted Break Room.
It was the Enchanted
exactly.
Break Room.
It was the Enchanted Break Room.
So, Ron, just to give a little you and me interesting background. So, Ron was part of a four-person group. It was myself, Ron, Greg Riley, and a lady named Carolyn, who was probably the most obnoxious, loud redhead. Nice lady. She was, I would have guessed her age in her early to mid-40s. And I don't think she got Jungle.
No, she did not.
It was not really her. She didn't fit in.
She didn't last
but,
long.
But here's the thing for people who knew that time. Didn't she remind you of Donna Noble on Doctor Who? Did you ever see Doctor Who?
Wait, Doctor Who?
Doctor Who?
Yeah, anyway, what? So if you've seen Doctor Who. And, You can get that.
I can get that, yeah.
Yeah. So we had an interesting training crew because we had four cast members and two trainers, which was unconventional. At the time, usually you had two trainees and one trainer. We ended up with two trainers training us as a group, which was Skipper Kaz and Amanda.
I had Kelly York.
Good, Kelly?
I had Kelly York as my trainer. Bless her heart.
I went to high school with her, by the way.
I had Kelly York. She went to costuming. She found a bullet jacket, and she says, "You want that."
Huh. Well, there goes that story I was telling.
Sorry about
that. I was pretty sure of that one.
Yeah, Kelly York was my trainer.
If she's listening, I know she also played the flute in high school, by the way. There you go.
All right. Personal shout-outs are all good.
Kelly York is awesome, and I had an awesome chance this last year to run or to walk in the Chalk Walk her. And we raised a whole bunch of money for Team Gianna, which is her daughter, and who's... Unfortunately, had spent a lot of time at Chalk, but we had a really great time. Gianna is a beautiful, beautiful girl. Yeah. And
I know there's a Facebook. It's facebook.com/prayersforGianna.
Pray for Gianna.
Pray for Gianna. G-I-A-N-N-A. And I there might be a direct web page as well, but find it through Facebook. It's one of those situations where we always like to support our own in the community, and she's great, and her child is beautiful, and
she's absolutely beautiful, and you could not go for a better cause and ask for a better mom than Kelly York is with her daughter. She's amazing. So props.
Yep.
Very good. Very nice.
All right, so Rex, what was your history?
Yeah, Skipper Captain Yacht Owner Rex. I started in November 2000. I didn't have an attraction actually for a long time because we were getting ready for the DCA opening at that time. I finally learned the Matterhorn after a couple months of GC. That was my first ride, and that was a quick window where they let new riders learn mountains. And after that, I did the Classics, and then I became a parade lead for about a year or so. And then I learned Thunder around 2002, I want to say. And then Landlocked shortly followed thereafter, and I decided to stick with the West Side. So then I learned Thunder and Jungle and Tiki, and I stayed there until 2005 when I ended my reign of shenanigans. And
they were good shenanigans.
They were great shenanigans.
Because you were gone by the time I came back for my second round.
Yeah.
So that was the haps. And now, Ms. Heather, what was your storied time at the resort?
Well, Jiminy Crickets, my story actually starts back way before I was even born. And my dad was a skipper back in the 70s. And my mom also worked West Side Attractions, and that's where they
now,
met.
Was that a love connection that was made?
It was a love connection that was made. It was a Disney marriage. So I grew up for many years hearing all sorts of Jungle Cruise stories. When I was 17, I decided to go ahead and apply for a job at Disney. They said I was going to start in foods because I was too young to go into attractions. And after a really good interview, they decided to go ahead and hire me into attractions at 17 years old, which was really awesome. Actually, Lauren Hood and I were the only two 17-year-olds that year who hired into attractions in the entire park. So that was really great. And he and I both started at Splash Mountain in 1998, and then in 99 I learned Pirates of the Caribbean. In 2001 I learned Big Thunder, and after a little while became a trainer there until Landlock. And since I was a trainer there, they decided to go ahead and landlock me into Adventure Frontier attractions, which was great. And unfortunately, after a accident at Big Thunder, I decided to go ahead and drop my knowledge, and I got a great call from the head of attractions at the time, and he asked me, he said, you know, we're really proud of you. You know, we'd like to go ahead and give you your choice of attraction anywhere in the park. And I said, okay, I want the Jungle Cruise. And there was a brief pause for about 3 or 4 seconds, to which he said, you don't want Indy? I said, no. My dad worked Jungle. I've always wanted Jungle. So, thankfully, if it wasn't for that unfortunate incident, I never would have known Jungle. So, I learned Jungle in 2003, was actually trained with Rex.
Trained together.
And we were probably Randy Grant's favorite trainees.
Definitely.
Skipper Randy Grant, a Skipper of the Year for this year.
And by favorite,
his favorite.
Unofficial favorite.
And by favorite, we could possibly mean that we were the bane of his existence.
Okay, so it was a sarcastic favorite, as opposed to...
Maybe it was.
Other people who may have...
No one will ever know.
I think we made sweet, sweet training by the fire, but...
But yeah, so I learned Jungle Tiki in 2003, and then I learned steam trains, I believe, in 2004. So, and I left in 2006, so...
Yeah. That was interesting.
So I've literally been all around the park.
They had you pegged as restaurants when you first hired in?
Mm-hmm.
I tell you, when they hired me in, without even me knowing it, they had me pegged at Jungle before they even told me. They knew I was going to go be a Jungle Cruise skipper. I wanted, like, pirates or something like that. I didn't think I was...
Well, I told the people who I interviewed with that my dad used to be a skipper, and honestly, I think they were afraid to put me there because they were probably so legends of my dad that...
That's
probably why management wanted to put me at Indy instead of Jungle after the accident, but...
As my brain goes, we had a very busy evening planned for the podcast tonight, and none of those things happened. So the limbo competition was sadly not going to happen tonight, so... I couldn't find out how low I could go, so...
You got a bad knee.
I can't believe I shaved my chest for this.
Yeah.
But it is smooth and kissable, though.
Thank you.
So we like to always chat about, you know, some of our favorite stories on the cruise. And, you know, we we get constant emails, and by constant I mean one every 2 or 3 months, that basically say, you know, what are your favorite jokes? I always hate that question because the jokes change for me on a very regular basis. But here's the one that has been co-opted by Skipper Kip, and I hope he uses it proudly. What do you call an alligator in a vest? An investigator. Love that joke. And then the
Bazinga.
And then the non-Jungle Cruise joke that I would never, ever tell, but it's just the best joke I've heard lately, which is, how do you tell the blind man at a nudist camp? It's not hard.
Yeah.
So,
that's about right.
That's it. That was it. So anyway, so what was your guy, joke-wise? I mean, because coming in, did you carry on any jokes? Did you get any...
Yeah, some that were OG. Some that weren't. My dad may have told me a joke or two that was used at grad night, but but I never would have dared done any of those through my training. But
yeah.
Well, but at the same time, I also had a lot of seniority when I was at Jungle, so I didn't work many grad night shifts there.
Yeah, well, and you came in already having a bunch of park experience, so you didn't necessarily need to blow off the steam because you had the friends already and you were connected. I think part of the Jungle experience is that we all show off to each other to prove our chops, and if you already have friends there and if you already have been through the ringer a little bit, you don't need to show off as much. It isn't quite as big of a I don't know, Rex, does that follow along with yours?
I had plenty of part time, but I definitely didn't have a lot of West Side time, so when I came over, I still had something to prove, and plus I was always a prankster prior to Jungle, so I feel like I was oh, here's time for me to really put my potential to good use instead of trying to fly right.
Yep.
But, yeah. Real quick, if I can just go into the favorite joke, this is an off-script joke. I can only credit it to Adam Tyler, because he was who I learned it from. I don't know where it came from prior, but it takes place at the scene with the rhino and obviously the safari explorers guys stuck up on the long barren tree stump or whatever that giant pole is in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
why there's a pole there. And I remember he would be like, look, that's amazing. This is incredible. Are you guys seeing this? And he would point, and everyone think he's talking about the rhino about to, you know, hit one of the guys in the little explorer crew. And he goes, look at all the rocks on that beach. This is the only place in the Jungle Cruise where there's all these rocks. That's so incredible. I just thought, like, that's so great, because that was the last thing I expected him to say. So
there's a bunch of rocks.
Just a bunch of rocks. And it's true. When you go there, just a bunch of smooth stones for whatever reason at that one spot.
Because you have the smooth stones, which are native to the Serengeti. A lot of people don't know that. That's one of the few places on Earth that smooth stones can be found. But you do have that ridiculous pole that's for no reason.
Yeah, I don't know why it's there.
I think it's because it was pole dancing lessons. They were trying to figure out how to do a good pole dance in the middle of the... I don't know the answer to that.
Well, prostitution is technically the oldest occupation in the entire world. So.
And we're on prostitution.
All right.
That only took about 15
minutes. We were going to get to it eventually.
Jungle Cruise prostitution. It's peanut butter and jelly.
Yeah,
And speaking of peanut butter and jelly, that was probably my favorite thing, were peanut butter and jelly tours. You would have a boat full of foreign tourists.
Pop-tarts.
And I am not going to name what nationality, because that would just be racist. But
and you don't know.
You had to make sure that nobody on your boat spoke any English whatsoever. And instead of going through the cruise saying OG jokes, you would go through and point to all the animals as if you knew what you were talking about, the whole time describing exactly how to make a peanut butter and
jelly
sandwich.
Mm-hmm.
So you'd start off saying, hi, I'm Heather from the world famous Jungle Cruise, and here's how we make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. First, you take 2 pieces of bread. Now, I personally like whole wheat. It's healthier. Come on, we all know this. Keep going a little while, start pointing to tigers, and you start talking about what kind of peanut butter you like. Do you like creamy peanut butter? Do you like chunky peanut butter? Just for the record, it's not peanut butter unless it has actual peanuts in it. So, go chunky. My husband will argue with you. But, but yeah, you would go through, and seriously, by the time you got back to the dock, you had a standing ovation full of nothing but applause. And skippers would look at you saying, you either just had the best cruise of your life, or you just gave a peanut butter and jelly tour.
Yep.
So, those were always classic.
I was one of the skippers they picked before the 50th anniversary to go to Glendale and help rewrite the game. You know.
I know. I was there,
it
too.
It was good times. Marley was there, was and me, you, times. Jason Hammond, a bunch of good skippers were there, and there was a joke I snuck in. I don't know if
apparently
this is
I
bad.
Apparently I wasn't a good skipper. I wasn't.
You were terrible.
I was
terrible.
A terrible skipper.
One of the worst. But that's what makes a good skipper.
There you go.
You have to have the darkness, the shadows to create the contrast.
It's all about failure. That's what the Jungle Cruise skipper should be.
I was the best skipper ever, for I failed in majestic ways.
I crashed every trip. But yeah, I snuck a joke in at the end of the script for Trader Sam. I doubt it's still on the script to this day, but... I stole it right from Will Ferrell out of an SNL skit where he used to do Robert Goulet.
Uh-huh.
And I remember Trader Sam just has that blank look where he doesn't blink. And right away I thought of the scene where Robert Goulet is out in the middle of the wilderness and a bighorn comes out and he goes, "You don't even blink, do you? Quick, staring contest, you, me, now." And I totally wrote that in exactly word for word and I just stared at Trader. I was the only one telling that joke too on the cruise. I don't know if anyone used it. And I would totally stare at Trader Sam for like a good minute or two as long as there wasn't a boat behind me. And I'd be like, "You win, you always do." And I'd do it in the Robert Goulet voice, which was weird, because the rest of the trip was in my normal voice.
Yeah.
And we'd pull into the dock and do the regular exit spiel. But yeah, I got that in the script. You got through legal and everything, and I was really proud of that.
We, there were a number of people who would break into random voices. I remember doing, the Zap Brannigan voice from Futurama, which was of course, modeled on Charlton Heston a little bit, where I'd start the entire trip wondering, "Kiff! Find me some sunscreen." And I would just do the entire trip in that a much better version of that voice because I had practiced it. But yeah, there were a couple people who would do the oddest. There was someone who was doing a Peter Lorre impersonation the entire trip.
That's obscure.
And it was just kind of like, that's kind of creepy. And did the entire trip that way, and I can't think of who it was.
I did the Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs singing, yeah, going from unload to load.
It's a little louder.
Ah. You remember that one?
That's yeah.
Someone made me do a Harry Carey trip, and it was exhausting.
Oh, yeah.
Because I had to shake the whole time, and then I had to keep being like, "Hey!" And, like, every scene, "Hey! Look at those hippos!" You know, I can't even do the voice anymore. It's totally gone.
But, I did one of those also.
And it was only men laughing. I remember the women were just totally just, "This is the worst trip I've ever been on." Every guy in the boat thought it was hilarious.
It was always interesting when you snuck in, because I am one of the anyone who could, like, look at me would know that I'm one of the least sports-minded people you can imagine. I'm a doughy white guy. And I mean, really, next to me, the Poppin' Fresh Dough boy looks tan. So me even thinking about doing anything sporting-related was really out there. And I would slip in a sports joke every once in a while. And it was amazing that was such a bonding experience for all the guys on the boat.
Totally,
you know, you'd make, I can't remember the joke I made, but it was a Bengal Tiger. It was a Cincinnati Bengals Bengal Tiger joke. And I can't remember what the joke was, but it was something about them losing. And the guys would always go crazy about it. Yeah, the guys in the boat would always go crazy about it. And so you would slip those little references in just because you knew they would get a little reaction on the sports side because you could slide something in under the radar a little bit. I actually really think that the trips improved once you were able to get jokes through the OG and actually get them approved. Now, apparently, there's a whole mechanism for taking your material and getting it actually approved, so you can do non-OG on a one-by-one basis, and they document it and write it down, and we detail that in our last episode.
Yeah.
Joey and Trevor talked to each other with Skipper Kip.
Some of the things that I was doing was not LOG, and it never will be. It was a lot of improv that happened, and there was one that I'm surprised I didn't get called up to the office on this one. This is back when all the little girls wanted to be Britney Spears. This is before she shaved her head. This is before all of that happened, before she had the kids, and all these girls were dressed like Britney Spears. And I'm the skipper in the boat, and if the skipper, right at load, you know you're always trying to get the people to move all the way forward, right? I'm trying to move people all the way forward, and here's this little girl, probably about 15 years old, dressed like Britney Spears, and I got the mic going, "Come on, come on, move all the way forward." I go, "Come on, Britney." And she stopped dead in her tracks, and she says, "How did you know my name is Britney?" And without skipping a beat, I turned around and I said, "You should close your bedroom curtains more often."
Oh, my God.
And her father, bless my heart, was cracking up laughing, going, "This is the guy's boat we want." And so off we went. Yeah,
and
you should have seen the load girls.
That's when you get lucky instead of being beaten.
The The weird thing
I
was,
expecting to go to management after that one.
Your boat was an Econoline that had no windows. That
exactly.
was the strangest thing. Yeah. Yeah,
exactly. Actually, it was a Winnebago.
I don't know why I let this kid in that van. It was weird.
Mm-hmm. I remember, I think one of the we always had times where you think something's funny or you are talking about something unrelated and something else happens to make it awkward. There was a comment I would make for a while about the unload guys wearing white shirts in the summer would be, you know, the rarest of jungle birds, the white-breasted booby. Not thinking of booby in the breast sense, but just as like an idiot. And so I said that the one time, and this lady, which I guess we would refer to her in the colloquialism of a MILF, walked from behind the smokestack with a pair of heavily augmented body parts with a giant white sweater. And I didn't see her when she was in the boat. So as she walks around the corner and I say that, of course, she thinks it's personal. And that was one of the ones that you just go, let's just let this moment pass. We're okay with that. Because you don't mean it to be, you know, it's...
Right.
They, you know, that was the issue for a while. There was a joke at Indy that was part of the script for a while about making fun of the monkeys and their strange behaviors and all that. It was actually in the OG. And then there was a family of racial background that thought that it was a racial issue. That they were... And that got pulled from the OG immediately. So that was one of those where... Yeah, for the people who are listening, the jungle is run by two forces. One of those forces is peer pressure from the guests and management. And then on the other side of the equation, balancing that, is the need for skippers to amuse themselves. And there's always this seeking its own level of what we try to do to keep ourselves amused and the things we shouldn't be doing because the management pressure or guest pressures. So I don't know, I think we all had, you know, guests were going to get offended at some point. Because that was the nature of the game. And someone was going to be offended. The fact that there's cannibalism jokes still surprises me.
I got a City Hall complaint for a very common cannibalism joke. When you're loading, you know, the kid coming up to sit next to you. Oh, kids. I love kids. Especially with barbecue sauce. We've all said it.
Yeah.
I got a City Hall one for that. That was surprising.
You should have said teriyaki sauce.
I should have said especially just cut up and eaten alive. If I was going to get the complaint. But
baby back ribs.
I just had a funny thought while you're talking about the forces of jungle. There was an interesting dynamic with that ride as opposed to other rides. Like when we're at Thunder Mountain and it breaks down, you don't tell guests it broke down. You say some weird theme. Oh, the mine shaft in there hit a boobity boobity bop, and you know, and the guests are supposed to go on their way. But you'd be in front of jungle, and literally a tree would actually fall and block the river, and we'd be down for a while. And you'd be out front, and be like, well, what would happen in the ride there? And you're like, well, a tree fell down. It's blocking the river. They're like, no, really. You can tell me what happened. You're like, no, sir, really. A tree fell down. It's blocking the river.
Did you ever have a tree or bamboo actually fall on your post?
Had one take my smokestack off.
It is scary as hell.
Well, I kind of made it happen. It was already fallen. So the bamboo had already fallen. This is right before you get coming at Schweitzer Falls. It was right there past the gorilla camp. And it had already gone across the river. And I thought, I can get through this. And I literally lifted it and I threw it up on the canopy, gunning it, not thinking about my smokestack. And I'm going, I can hear it dragging on the denim or whatever that is on the canopy above.
Canvas,
thank you. I couldn't think of it. And I'm kind of, you know, wincing like, oh, God, it's grinding on the canvas. And you hear a big thud. And I just keep going. I'm like, we're fine. We're good. And the guests were kind of like, that was amazing. We made it. And we get back, and all the skippers and the dock are laughing. I'm like, what are they laughing at? Apparently, a smokestack did come completely off, but landed, thankfully, on the canopy, so I didn't lose it. But all you see was this big metal long exhaust pipe sticking out of the top of my boat.
So it was you were trying to do a jungle limbo.
Yes.
Trying to see if you can get under the pole.
How low can my boat go?
Not that low, apparently.
Apparently, went topless when I got back. So.
Well, you did shave your chest.
Hey-o.
So, yeah, no, you know, I think that was always. There were a couple summers where there was springs, where there was a ton of rain, and during the winter the bamboo will dry out quite a bit. So the first couple rains of the spring are when we used to have all the foliage issues, and luckily that's when maintenance does a lot of their landscaping when they go out there and they actually trim everything back. But there were times after the 95 the Indy rehab. That, you know, it was probably 5 years of growth where it got really dense out there by 2000, 2001, 2002. And, I mean, it was...
And in 2003, it all came down.
It was like once a week, man.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That was, I think 03 was the big, was when we had the density hit where because there was just so much root structure that it was digging up against itself, and that we had bamboo on a regular basis.
What year did it?
Bamboo
year did the
on
tree?
A regular basis, and I want to say it was 04. There was a huge, I believe,
the
ficus tree
in the, that's
in
what
the,
I was gonna ask
in the hippo pool that completely, and I mean completely, took out a hippo. So, if you want to know how to take out a hippo, it's not a gun.
That was a huge
it's
tree.
Not,
I actually think you have to ask its parents first before you take out a hippo.
Yeah, it's not...
Bring it back before midnight.
You know, tranquilizing darts. Just go in there with a ficus, and you're going to So, in case y'all were wondering.
Just so you know, hippo is the most dangerous animal on the African plain unless confronted with a ficus.
Yes.
A shrubbery.
So the next trip that you guys take to Africa, get all of your immunizations, and for God's sake, chop down a ficus the moment you get there. Otherwise, you won't survive. You will not survive.
And watch out for the baby ducks.
That'll work out great. I'm going to go to Africa and be like, okay, we're going to go over some survival. No. I worked on the Jungle Cruise, good sir.
I've got to fight.
Skip the safety spiel. I'm all right.
Speaking of ducks and winds, there was one spring where all of the ducks were laying all of their eggs all at the same time.
Yeah.
And it was a very, very windy
season. I hate when their cycles get all locked up like that.
You know, seriously, it's a girl thing. It's a girl thing. It doesn't matter what species you are. We all share it. Come on. So anyways, there was one really windy day, and I don't know how on earth it happened, but
the wind?
All of these, well, the wind, but by the laws of physics, it shouldn't work this way. There were tons of duck eggs that were floating in the hippo pond. And the hippos were going up and down like the usual animation does, and I swear to God, it looked like a game, a real-life game of hungry, hungry hippos.
That's awesome.
They're, 05-ish. I don't remember who it was, but someone actually brought in a bunch of wiffle balls and let them go in the hippo pool and took pictures.
I applaud that kind of mischief.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that was a good one.
Yeah.
That was a good one. We've talked, we actually had some of the skips who were, there at the time, you guys heard about the dishwasher or the laundry soap.
Yeah,
that's always you always hear about that.
Up to mid height. There was shenanigans abounded there. A lot of the best things were the dock jokes where you would come around and there was a native shield with a chunk out of it that was floating around at the dock for a long time, and there was a particular skipper Josh, who had a propensity to sit on the end of the boat that was at the,
catwalk?
Okay, anyway. Yeah, the one next to the dock. Okay, the spur line, sorry. It's been a long time since I've slung the terminology. But anyway, Josh would sit on the prow of the boat, I think is the term, and it looked like he was eating because there was like a giant bite mark out of the front of the shield. So he would sit there with that. There were a lot of jokes with oil cans, where people would be sitting on the oil can, and the joke would be that they were on the can. there were a couple barrel things. There was a very small skipper who was small enough to fit into one of the storage crates at the front. So you would come to the dock, and it would pop out like a jack-in-the-box. There were all kinds of interesting, you know, dock pranks and things like that.
Oh, yeah, we called those mic drops, because what you wanted to do is you wanted the skipper coming in to just lose it.
Yeah.
And if we can make that person laugh and literally drop the mic, that was called a mic drop, just to get them to laugh. And we did that to each other all the time.
I guess I thought we were just dropping the mic out of anger. I guess I misunderstood
And that's why the mics were working so well half the time.
I just thought we were supposed to be rock stars.
So that's your fault.
I'm out.
Yeah, done.
Feedback on the mic. Yeah, it was great.
Ron was reminding me, I don't know if you were at the table at that point, Ron was reminding me of one of my guest complaints that went to City Hall. And it's oddly enough, I haven't told the story on the podcast. I was doing this thing where I would get a cup of water out of the water pitcher, out of the actual, like, drinkable water, and I would set it right next to me, and I would get on all fours with a mouthful of water in no man's land, and I would pretend to be the squirting elephant, and I would squirt a stream of water in front of the boat as it's getting ready to unload. and I had a complaint that I was spitting at guests. And that joke died very quickly, sadly. I thought it was funny.
I think we had a variation on that, too, during the whole, you know, SARS, West Nile scare, where we would take a little bit of water and put it in our mouth and just hold it there, and then we get on all fours and pretend like we scoop up some water from the actual river, and we would pretend like we were drinking it. And the skipper who was coming into the dock would say, "No, Heather, no! That water is full of West Nile virus!" And then you would spit out the clean water you actually had, but you'd be playing on that.
Yeah.
But we used to call it, you know, we'd say that it was full of SARS, and it was during the whole SARS scare. And during that scare, there were tons of especially Asian tourists who would come in with surgical masks on their faces and just stay like that the whole time. And I'll tell you what, you have never seen a boat full of guests exit so quickly in your entire life, because we were apparently all contaminated, which that was a lot of fun.
I used to do welding mask jokes with a lot of the tourists from Asia. They're so fair skinned, they wear the giant, like, just one big shade over their face. It looks like a welding mask. You guys know you've seen
it. Yeah.
And they would never laugh at it because they didn't speak English, but all the American guests would think it was hilarious. And they'd get on and be like, "Don't worry, if we spring a leak, I've got my welding crew on board." And, you know, just whatever various, like, you know, joke I can make about crew members with, you know, tools. And they would never get it, the people that were wearing those giant shaded hats. But the American guests thought it was hilarious.
You know, I'm shocked that one of the things we haven't talked about on the podcast is the penny bucket. We haven't talked about that yet at all. We had a metal bucket that was on the little catwalk that was on the other side of the boats, and it would sit on top of a big 55-gallon oil drum, and we would have contests in between the boats pulling out. If you had a handful of change, you would take your pennies and see if you could sink a bucket from the shipping office.
Oh, it was pennies.
It was pennies.
Oh.
Wait, were you using quarters?
And
that's
why you were
so
really
poor?
Uncomfortable, because I thought it was panties, and so
try to throw
day,
panties into it.
It was, yeah. Well, I guess I just revealed a couple things in that sentence.
A smart person, after they tied up their boat at the catwalk, would go over to the penny bucket, and that's how I bought most of my drinks while I was over there. So, thank you guys.
It was a lot easier than going into the Snow White wishing well to dredge out.
Right.
I tried that once when I was a pass holder when I was a teenager, and my friend was like, "Oh, come on, let's do it." And so she was this tiny little thing, so I was holding her by her into the Snow White wishing well, and a security guard comes up and just says, "Can I help you?"
Well, you should.
I'll tell you what, if there wasn't a good opportunity for I lost my contact, that was it.
You should have said, "I'm fishing with the one I love."
Facepalm.
That's good.
Facepalm.
It's amazing the amount of money. Were any of you guys around for river rehabs?
Oh, yeah.
What was your favorite thing that they found in one of the rivers?
ECV.
Yeah, ECV. the electric wheelchair in the rivers of America was one of the... I still, like, my list that I was amazed by was the $5,000 digital SLR in the Jungle River. And you know that conversation had to go something like this. Splash. "Honey, what happened to your camera?" "Nothing." Because you know that he was not going to be admitting that the $5,000 camera, that the second it hits the water, is useless. You're not going to go to City Hall and try to get anything back, because nothing's going to be usable at all. So you just let that go. That's the... We'll write this off on the insurance. Bowling ball in the Rivers of America.
I was there that year.
Was an excellent one. I think that the one that astounds everyone and has become urban legend was the prosthetic leg.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Mm.
Found off of the...
How do you not report that?
Yeah, how do you not know that there was a leg missing?
Maybe he had a spare.
Just tied to his bumper.
It was actually one of the kingdom keepers, you know. In the middle of the night.
Well, as long as it wasn't a kickstand.
Oh.
That's going to be edited out, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah.
Sorry.
I'll pull that one. No, that is... No, maybe it won't. I don't know.
That shot was below the knees.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Sorry.
Come on, we're just trying to give the podcast a leg up with these kind of opportunities here, so.
I got nothing. I don't even know to stand on.
We got to get on solid footing for the rest of the episode.
Yeah, don't you love, like, some of those, like, some of the times, like, when you were on, you were in about, and yeah, a guest just says something random that's just so funny. Like, you're right in the middle of telling a joke, and they say something that's just so funny, you're like, I can't top that.
Yeah.
Like, there was one time when, it was shortly after the rehab in 04, and they took Trader Sam's mask off. And which I've never been a fan of, except for this one time. And I was coming around, going up to Trader Sam, and I started with my usual Trader Sam joke. I stayed really OG when it came to Trader Sam. But right in the middle of telling this little boy, he couldn't have been more than 5 years old, he points at Trader Sam and just goes, "That guy looks like Michael Jackson." And I just look and I went, "Well, I'm sorry, guys. I can't top that. Okay, let's go back to the dock."
Yeah, Michael. Actually, I actually interacted with him at the Tiki Room one day when he came through. So that was,
how was it?
I actually, it was interesting. It was great, except for the fact he was trying to pet Jose.
Mm.
Hey-o.
So, he was trying to.
Oh, was he really?
Yeah. Yeah. He was physically actually trying to get up there and get with it and see if the bird was real.
Was Michael Jackson, the smiley of the celebrity world.
I could go off of that into my favorite celebrity that I loaded on.
Yeah, and celebrity stories are great. Please, let's.
Pam Anderson. I didn't wash that hand for a week. And I that was great.
That's why it smelled.
Yeah, it did. Mm. Like awesome. What it smelled like.
Jamie Lee Curtis was on my phone all the time. She requested me. She standing ovations. Jamie Lee Curtis. She was awesome.
I had a standing ovation from Steve Martin, which
nice
made me just about pee my pants. But I was just like, oh. But I had Cal Ripken Jr., who was awesome. I had The Edge from U2, which I had in a few weeks before. I was working on Steam Trains, and I had Bono on my train, so
I had Charisma Carpenter.
Yeah, half of you too, man.
You were trying to fill out your celebrity bingo card there?
I was almost a groupie. I was this close. But, yeah, no, I had a lot of really cool.
I had Charisma Carpenter. She was cool.
Sarah Michelle Gellar was an absolute I saw her at Splash, and she was an absolute you-know-what.
I had mine with Terry Hatcher at India. Let's just say she abused her power as a celebrity and parent of a child with a learning disorder, with a disability. And that was a tough one for me. She rode Indy like 6 times in a row in front row and had the whole car to themselves. And that was a little abusive, but
yeah, see, I had Sarah Michelle Gellar at Splash Mountain, and it was a really hot summer day, and there was a line for wheelchairs that was about an hour and a half. It was about as long as the regular line was. And she just comes strolling up, and I said, okay, you know, just hang on for a second. Let me go ahead and get this group ahead of you, and I'll put you guys on right after. And she just pulled the whole, "Don't you know who I am?" And I said, "Yes, you are somebody with 2 legs. As soon as I put somebody with no legs on the log, you may follow her."
Cat fight
in the bushes behind us.
Oh, this may be the most interesting thing that's happened on the podcast yet.
Here it is. Look at the
Three cats.
Oh. I think one came to the other one's rescue.
Just so you guys are at home are wondering, since you can't see this, some of the cats that hang around the Disneyland Hotel have decided that they want to get into a 3-way cat fight. And the last time that I saw a 3-way cat fight like this, I had to pay $80.
The animatronics are simply amazing.
They're fantastic.
I mean, these cats move like they're real. Yeah. It's great.
What many people don't realize is that the characters like Mickey Mouse and Goofy, they're not people inside masks.
No, they're criminals.
They are genetically enhanced.
Giant mutants.
They eat people. Yeah.
And instead of negotiating, as I'm sure Trevor Kelly and Joey Hurley have said, instead of negotiating with local Teamsters, we just feed them the occasional Disneyland stray cat.
So, we actually had a orange cat at the Jungle Cruise that would hang out, that had a orange Mickey Mouse shaped head it was like the ears, the head into two ears on its side, mm-hmm. and you could not spiel when you saw this cat. You had to point out, there's a cat with a Mickey Mouse logo on the side of the cat's side.
Did you call it Mickey Meow?
Mickey Meow. That is correct.
It was the hidden Mickey at Disney.
It was.
At the Jungle.
Jungle Cruise. And it moved around, so we were more challenging of a hidden Mickey.
Exactly.
I got to throw back real quick to the celebrity guests, because this is for all the Star Wars and Willow geeks out there.
Got it.
Warwick Davis and his entire family loaded him on the teacups. That's what I was working at the time. This was epic, because the entire family is small. His wife and his children. They got in the cup, and I literally couldn't see a thing. It was just a spinning cup. I could not see them at all. And I interacted with them directly. I talked to them, and come on, go ahead. Because I had to let them in. They came in through the exit. So anyway, sure. But I was just thrilled. I was sitting in my chair. You can't even see him. His whole family. He's in that cup. There he is, Wicket. He's right there.
All the celebrities I had were great. She wasn't bad, but it was Christina Aguilera, and I was working Indy on the 50th, and she was there with her big black guy, security guard, big huge guy, but I kid you not, she was standing right next to me in these light blue sweats. She looked like a 12-year-old girl
tiny.
With boobs.
She's little.
With boobs. She's a little thing with boobs out to about there.
Going back to the Christina Aguilera subject, it was, I want to say 2002 maybe? I was dating a guy who worked at the Haunted Mansion, and I had just finished my shift at Thunder, and I knew Christina Aguilera was in the park, but I went over to the Haunted Mansion to go see him and wait till his shift was done, and wouldn't you know, Christina Aguilera and her boyfriend were on the Haunted Mansion when I was there. He was in the tower, and we saw her doing some things that...
On the cameras.
Lip-syncing? Terrible, terrible. They catch that on infrared, I'm just telling you.
I'll tell you what, 12-year-old girls with boobs nowadays are getting away with so much more. This makes me want to clean out my shotguns.
I only worked grad night once, and... I didn't do Jungle Cruise. They had me, we were joking around calling it the Group W Bench, which was right at the entrance. Anybody who got off the bus, drunk, high, passed out, or whatever, they put them on this bench. And they didn't get inside the park until some adult took them away. And so after that it was all done, and we're in Disney suits, they told us to go out and walk the park. And so we were doing this. There was three of us, and we ran over to Pirates of the Caribbean, where... We went up the tower, and we saw basically similar to what you saw.
No, I can beat that.
But what we did, though, is we counted, and then when we knew that boat was coming at exit, we flew over to the exit, and when we saw the boat, we gave her a standing ovation.
Were there when they...
We could make an entire podcast on things that I've seen at
places
pirates
in the
having
park.
Worked there.
Yeah.
Well, how about we make it really easy. Just, we'll go into round robin. Name places at the park that you were aware that interesting physical activities have happened
Thunder.
In the park. Awareness of it. So, Thunder?
Thunder the Cave.
I, with a guest in the Frontierland storage place where the Phantasmic poles go.
Stockade.
The stockade, yeah.
Personally,
with a guest. So I know it happened in there.
Okay. Really?
Firsthand. Yeah, really. It was one of my first year in the park. So.
Well, Jungle Cruise boats, but
okay. At night.
That was at night.
At night, she's right.
The indie film room.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about guests.
The Mylar table. Everyone knows about that, right?
Mark Twain.
Oh, okay. Steamy.
Yes. Okay. The waterfalls that used to be in front of the tower at the Disneyland Hotel.
Yeah.
So sad those are gone, by the way.
Primo makeout area.
Yep.
Primo.
Lincoln. The Lincoln Theater, I think, was one. Yeah. I have to admit that as I was a cast member there, I saw more things.
Country Bear Jamboree.
Yeah. There were some bizarre things that happened. Hungry Bear, like the downstairs area of Hungry Bear, we were constantly finding people making out down there.
The Horny Bear, yeah.
The Horny Bear jamboree.
Those were cast members.
Remember the People Maker?
Setting the island back up after Fantasmic.
If you want to go old school, the sky carts.
Tomorrowland was rife with it. I mean, rocket rods and people mover. And, I mean, it was just, it was all over the
Journey
place.
Journey to the Center.
Yes. Captain Big O, I mean, you had it all. Honey, I Made the Kids. I mean...
So forget about Adventureland. Forget about Fantasyland. Apparently, Tomorrowland was where it was.
That's
at.
Where the action was.
We should have made up a new joke.
And that's
Charlie in the trees. Hey, Charlie in the trees. Did anyone else use that joke at night at the jungle?
No, we tried to avoid that.
Oh no, I did. I did that, and it was.
Yeah, that one didn't go over well with the everybody. So.
since we've gone a little blue on this episode, The Indiana Jones film room queue, for a long time, the cast members had a little walkway on this side. We could go up and down to rotate shifts and things like that, and people would be standing in the queue, and you would hear the most interesting snatches of conversation that were just in the middle. So you know when you walk into a conversation and it's just at the exact wrong point? I overheard one time the following words, and that's when he had to masturbate the horse. Now, the first question that I have always wondered is where is there a job that it's not clear in your job description that that's part of the activities, and it would somehow become a surprise that that was what you were going to have to do at work that day? You don't go to work at Best Buy in your little blue shirt and your little black pants and walk in and have your manager say to you, well, Tom, it's time to repair the computers, restock the pencils, and masturbate the horse. It just doesn't happen like that. It's not a weird...
Can I just say, I love the fact that we are telling these jokes right as there is a family walking right.
It is.
Oh, they're watching the fireworks.
They're watching the fireworks.
Never mind, we're good.
Would you like to... But talking about that job description, I'd like to see that guy's resume.
Yeah.
Well, the way it sounds in the conversation, like it was some sort of contingency plan.
Yeah.
So it's like, well, we ran out of ranch at Burger King, so that's when he had to masturbate the horse.
That's a secret sauce, huh?
Well, Mr. Bond, to save the world, you will have to break out of this laser trap and masturbate the horse.
Did I mention the horse is ill-tempered? Yes.
Oh,
man.
Heather, every time I'm around you, I see fireworks because we hang out at Disney and only at Disney.
I have that effect on people.
Yeah. So let's talk. It really was about the worst thing in the world to be on the Jungle Cruise with a boat while the fireworks were going on.
Yeah.
Anyone who has ever been a skipper during fireworks shows will tell you that what you're going through now as an audience... It's a million times worse actually on the river because that noise carries and you can't hear anything the skipper says. I would pull my microphone, unplug it, move my lips and not say anything, but face all of the guests so it looked like I was talking, but I really wasn't talking.
Oh, they heard what I said. When fireworks were going off, I went, Saddam Hussein is bombing us!
Too soon?
Too soon. Too tsunami, yeah. But I literally did that on the Jungle Cruise boat. I went, oh.
Yeah. There were a lot of times when you opened your mouth.
Yes.
And things just came out.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep. I try not to go blue.
Yeah, well, especially, going blue here, one thing. I just always tried not to do it at work. That was always...
Yeah.
When you have kids in the boat, you just don't want to go. Yeah, there's a point. Politics were the one I would never get into. There were people who would lean to the right jokes and all that. That was never my shtick. For all of the... And we've talked about this on the podcast. For all of my variances to the approved script... They were always within the spirit of what we're doing. I kept it very themed and very much at the time. And that's the message I want to continue with all of the skippers who are listening. We have some great... when I've gone into the park and I've had business cards, I'm talking to some of the skippers who I know. Some of the skips who are there now, because the fireworks are going off, in case you missed us saying that. This is so annoying. Some of the skips that are there now actually have heard the podcast, and it's really, really flattering that they basically said, "When I grow up, I don't want to be anything like Kyle." It's a very kind thing. These fireworks are so annoying. Yeah, there's some more fireworks. It's like us in the jungle. Hey, there's some jungle. It's right there. There's some more jungle. There's right over there. It's jungle.
And that's why I broke up with a Charlie in the Trees.
Yep.
Oh, man. You know, sorry to interrupt. There's a funny story about the Charlie thing. We had a...
No, you can interrupt. The fireworks are doing a fan-freaking-tastic job.
Let me just stay themed and interrupt continually. No, there was a lingerie company in Japan literally called Charlie, and they had a really good fiscal year one time. You might have been there for this. They rented out the park for the night, and the owner, the CEO, I should say, he paid for the entire thing. Every employee was paid for. They were booked. He rented out the park. They had the whole nine yards, and it's all Japanese people. But the whole night, I was a guest controller at the time, you hear over the radio, because, I mean, they were just running rampant throughout the park. So you hear people go, we've got Charlie in the planners. We have there's Charlie running across the parade route. Can you stop him? And they were literally saying that because the company name was Charlie, and they had Charlie emblazoned on the back of these black, like, baseball jackets. It said in big white letters, Charlie. And so just all night, just heard, Charlie's doing this, Charlie's doing that. And you hear one guy just be like, I feel so tall tonight, like over the radio. Just randomness. Oh.
That's almost as bad as when Winnie the Pooh opened. Because I was there when there was the opening of that attraction in Critter Country, and they hadn't really gotten the hang of radio calls yet. So you had things like, we have a 101, Pooh is backed up all through Critter Country. We have a backup of Pooh. The station is, Pooh is down. Pooh is down at the station.
He's right.
So,
and I was the greeter out at Splash Mountain pointing and laughing at you guys after hearing that.
Oh, the radio calls were fantastic.
That's hysterical. Yeah. I wish I had been there for that.
Speaking of fun radio calls, back to Jungle. It was 2004, and we had just finished the Spiel project. And they installed the piranhas, and they installed the big water cannon at the gorilla scene. And wouldn't you know, they were supposed to have everything sorted out where if another boat followed you too closely, the water explosion was not supposed to go off. Well, they lied. And I was in the Zambezi, and I had a 3-shot at the squirter. And so I'm already mortified because my boat won't start, and I just realized, oh, crap, everybody on this boat is going to get soaked. Sure enough, squirter gets everybody, including myself, except for maybe the very few back seats. So anyways, I try restarting the boat and restarting. I tried a dozen times, and I could not get the boat to start. So I spiel to everybody on the boat, and I said, okay, folks, you know, it looks like we're having some engine trouble, so I'm going to shoot my gun 3 times, and I'm going to go ahead and make a call into the dock and see if we can't get some help. And I had already seen 1-2 explosions go off at the gorilla camp, so those were supposed to be for my boat, so I didn't think anything of it. And so I do my 3-shot, and I go onto the radio. I say, Jungle Central, this is the Zambezi. And right as I'm saying this, there is a boat that comes up right behind me. But I said to myself, oh, I don't have to worry about the water explosion. They said that wasn't going to be a problem. Sure enough, my boat is directly over the water cannon. And just as I'm saying, I'm a 3-shot, all of a sudden you hear this, boom! My boat jumped into the air. And all of a sudden, all you hear me saying is, fuck! Shit! Oh, my God! Gorilla camp! I'm a 3-shot in the gorilla camp! Please send help! Once I finally finished freaking out, I realized what's happened. And I realized, oh, gosh, it was the water cannon. And I looked thinking, oh, my gosh, I have said so many colorful words just now. This boat is going to be so mad. And I look, and they're clueless. They are completely clueless. And so I don't know what compelled me to do so. I'd already tried a dozen times. Try restarting my boat one more time. Wouldn't you know, the boat starts back up. And so I'm able to call to the dock and just say, you know, cancel that. I got my boat restarted. We continued on with the rest of the cruise as if nothing ever happened. And I roll into the dock. And Jerry York, Sean Nelson, and about a dozen other skippers are literally on the floor laughing because of my radio call. And yeah, it was that was probably one of my more memorable moments. But yeah, that's on my tangent on funny radio calls.
It's all good. So we're going to wrap it up for the night, mainly because the fireworks have driven us to a state of near sobriety tonight, which is not a position you want skippers to be in ever.
Buzzkill.
I know. Mm-hmm. It was such a beautiful moment. So
you could use three shots, you know what I mean? And a squirter and an explosion. Hey-o!
I actually, I was kind of sad when Trader Sam's opened up that they didn't have a like a hurricane-style drink that could be ordered with... Could be ordered with 3, 4, or 6 shots of rum in it.
Easy.
That would have been a great, appropriate drink for the... this is all...
I'm disappointed Trader Sam only has 4 chairs inside. Could they, please?
I mean... Yeah, actually, Trader Sam's, the bar, has the same seating capacity as a Jungle Cruise boat. It's the same... 48 seats in that bar.
Yeah, that's theming.
Does that apply to Japanese car groups too? Because yes. I can make that at least 55.
Were you there for the sumos that came in? I had a full boat of sumo wrestlers on my boat. I think we fit 16.
Whoa.
And literally could not fit anymore. And there was one guy who was straddling the boxes in the middle of the boat, like leaning forward the entire trip.
Please say he wasn't in costume.
He was in costume.
Oh, dear Jesus.
And I don't know. They were wearing the OBs. They were wearing the jackets. Mm-hmm. But he was wearing
a G-string,
basically. Yeah. But they,
and on that note.
But it was, yeah, it was a memorable trip. The boat did not handle well at all.
No, the water line was on there.
It was riding low, so... Anyway.
But you were able to push all the other boats out of the ring, right?
Yes.
Nice.
Yeah, the hard part was as the other boats came close, I would throw salt at them. So that was a little strange of a moment, but I can't believe that my life and podcast career after a year is being ended on a sumo salt joke. I think that's the best way to go out.
I think we just got assaulted.
We just did. It was
I'm walking away from that.
Yeah.
Oh, come on.
I'm palming my name badge at this point. We all did that. We had our name badges on magnets so we could quickly remove them just on the off chance that Rex told a joke.
That's
just in
true.
Case. I don't want to be associated with this.
Or Saul entered the shipping office.
Saul.
But that's another story for another podcast.
We actually have told that story on the podcast.
Oh, well,
so that's a good one. Saul is the only... cast member, he actually called into work. I'm going to cut this because I've told this story before. Saul called into scheduling, unable to come into work because he was handcuffed to a bed and didn't have the key. It is possibly the best excuse for not coming to work ever.
And that was just after he won Jungle Line Attraction of the Year.
Well, working pirates on Red Shirt Day wasn't exactly a picnic either. Those corsets.
I actually miss the old. I miss the old corsets, though.
A few pounds ago, I'll tell you what. I got a lot of dates.
Yeah, a lot of offers at that point. I actually really like working Bat's Day at Jungle because I would put a big rubber bat in the front of my boat, showing that I was bat friendly, and I would get entire. Groups and boats of goth kids coming up on my boats, and I would just—I don't even remember the jokes I would slide in, but I would, you know, do the entire trip in the same cadence as Haunted Mansion Holiday or whatever it was at the time. So, all right. Well, besides some beautiful editing challenges presented to us by the fireworks, not because we're a bunch of filthy, randy-minded skippers. So we had a little interruption in the editing side there from the fireworks, so we'll be editing that up to that point out. So lovely to have the Disneyland fireworks going off in the middle of our podcast. Don't they know who we are? Don't they know what
Mickey's
we're doing?
Face.
Mickey's face.
That's why they won't hire us again. They know who we are when they know what we've done.
However, if we're caught, this Theme Park One will disavow any knowledge of our actions.
That's right.
Bum, 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 bum. All right. Well, everyone, that's been a year of podcast goodness, everybody. We'd like to thank everyone who has been with us from the start, who's joined us. Anyone on the Disney side, we've really had a great time entertaining everybody. I would like to throw the normal shout-outs that we do at the end of it. The Skipcast Network is comprised of all ex-skippers and people who've worked at the Jungle Cruise at Disneylands across the world. Right now we have four podcasts that we do. We have the Jungle Tales from the Jungle Cruise, which you are listening to now. We have the Jungle Cruise Radio Play, which is a dramatization of the events that happen around the rivers of the world, starring a whole bunch of ex-skippers, and we have a great time with that. We also have the podcast Joey and Trevor Talk to Each Other, which, by the way, originally was just Joey talking to himself. Didn't really work out so well, so we put Trevor in the mix. It's hugely successful. They actually have had more hits than I have with this podcast. That's now updating weekly, and you can find it by searching Joey and Trevor on iTunes. And then finally, we have a new podcast called Nerd 101, in which we go into nerd topics 20 minutes at a time for the non-nerd. So we've broken down Firefly, Doctor Who, The Avengers. So if you don't have any clue at all about zombie movies, in 20 minutes we break it down so you can understand. So we've got a Lord of the Rings and a Harry Potter episode coming up. We have an episode for Renaissance Fair. We have a bunch of fun episodes. Comic-Con is something we have in the works, even though it's over for this year. My timing is terrible. And we have a Spider-Man episode coming up in about a week where we're going to be discussing the world of Spider-Man for the three people in the universe who have not ever heard of Spider-Man. I'm challenging myself with this podcast. So check us out, facebook.com/skipcastnetworks, or you can find us on Twitter at skipcast. And as always, please send us some emails, junglecruise, C-R-E-W-S, at gmail.com. Thanks, everyone, for the fantastic year. It's been a game changer in my life, and it's been an ability for me to keep some oral history of the events that have happened at the Jungle Cruise alive. We're going to keep this up into the next year. We love your support, and we'd like to thank you all very much. So this is Skipper Kyle signing off. Kungaloosh, everyone, and have a great time out there in the internet adventure lands.